my friend and co-host Shelly.
Hi, Pamela.
And we have another special guest today. This is my partner in crime. Anytime I'm doing crazy stuff, and we'll share a little bit of that.
Okay.
This is one of my best friends. This is Celie. She actually is joining us from Phoenix.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Pamela. Hello, Shelly. I'm so excited to be here.
It's fun having you here.
It is really fun to have you here. We're going to have a lot of fun today. This is going to be awesome. So real time, we're doing this just before Thanksgiving. And whether it is Thanksgiving when you're listening to this or not, it's always a good time to be grateful. And I just want to tell everyone I'm so grateful for all the great reviews we've gotten, the listeners all over the world. It is so cool. I love to hear from people. I got a fabulous email from a listener in Kentucky. Her name is Misty. Oh my gosh, so cute. So fun. I love meeting you guys. Love all of it. Thank you. Thank you for opening your lives to me to let me share my stories. I am really grateful. It's been a really fun adventure just sharing my PI stories with you guys, and I am very grateful for it. Thanks for taking time to listen and sharing it with your families, friends. Thanks for your reviews. I love it. Thank you so, so much.
Yes, where are we going today?
We're going on a fun adventure because the last episodes were really heavy and intense.
Okay.
So I'm kind of doing this like a gig. If I played like a really heavy, intense song, then I'd play something lighter. So today we are going to have fun. I hope we all end up laughing until we pee our pants. And I hope the people listening do too.
Okay.
So Celie and I were roommates in college while I was at BYU. So you listeners know, you already know Shelly's a very strong person. Celie makes me look like a big baby. She is tough. Emotionally, physically, Celie is a very strong woman.
I love
and
that.
Yeah, I do too. Except when she's like correcting me on stuff. And then I'm like, Celie, I can't do that.
Yes, you can. Really... You're stronger than you say you are. You are.
Right. This is one of our funniest first adventures that we had and as roommates. And I just want to tell this just so you get a feel for who we are together.
Well, Pamela, why don't you tell everyone how we met? It was the strangest thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Because actually, oh my gosh, this is so funny. All three of us are from Cache Valley. We're Cache Valley girls.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
We are from the same small little valley up in northern Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And Celie and I are the exact same age, went to different high schools.
And I'm not. Let's just make that. No. We don't need to say how old we're, but yeah, I'm not their age. Okay. I mean, I acted sometimes, but I am definitely not their age.
True. And we had mutual friends, but we never met each other. We didn't know each other until college. And then we just kind of got thrown in, you know, like the roommate lottery, where they just like, here's your roommate in this apartment. So if anyone's thinking about or having their kids think about, should I go to school and they don't know anyone that they're going to be living with? I had some goofy roommates, but I also ended up with like Celie, who has been a lifetime BFF. She is.
I love it.
Loyal as any friend could ever be. And I've told her many times, like, hey, I need counseling. I'll call her and be like, I need help. Please listen. Please listen to me and help me.
I hope you charge a lot, Celie. I hope you charge a lot.
I do. I charge a ton. All of her time when I come to Utah.
Yeah, right. No, and I say all the time, like, oh my gosh, you saved me so much money in counseling. But yeah, I got Celie out of that. And if I had said, I'm only going to live with someone I know already, I would not have you.
No.
And you are salt and I am pepper.
That's true.
It was so random that we just hit it off, and all of our high school friends that I knew from Logan, you knew a couple people from Mountain Crest. And it was crazy that we never actually crossed each other's path.
It really, really was. So then we're living in the same apartment, and I was dating a few people, but one of the guys that I dated.
She's a speed dater. Yeah, a multitask dater.
Something like that.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. So this guy I was dating, he lived in our apartment complex on the other side because it was BYU. So it was like BYU approved. It's a very conservative school. So the girls were on one side of the apartment complex and the boys are on the other, because no way could anyone ever cross to that side and do bad stuff.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah,
they would never. No. They would never do that.
No way.
And so Steve was on the boys' side, of course, on the other side. And I had been dating Steve for, and like most of the guys that I dated were also college students. Steve was not. He had already finished school and he had a job, and he didn't just have a job, but he was making really good money. I think at the time it was like close to $100,000 a year. When you're a college student and someone's making, like, that's good money.
20,000
a college student.
20,000 a year if you're a college student, you think you're dating somebody rich. Come on.
Oh, exactly. And he
and this
had,
was
like,
what, 1990? Or no. Yeah. 1990, something like that.
Yeah, it was probably about 1990. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was dating Steve. But what was really weird is for our dates, he would not ever take me to dinner. And if we went to a movie, he would take me to the dollar theater. And at first, for a while, I was like, okay with it. And then I started thinking, like, what the heck? What is this guy spending his money on if he's not even buying me dinner? And he can't even pay for a regular movie ticket.
That's funny.
What in the heck? This is not cool. And then you notice, like, he had two cars. He had a boat. He had Wave Runners. So he didn't mind spending his money on himself, but to even pay for a regular movie ticket, he wasn't going to spring for that.
Wow.
And I liked him.
Uh-huh.
I really liked him. He was a nice guy. I was waiting tables at this time in my life, and I waited tables up in Salt Lake. We were living where BYU is. It's 45 minutes south of Salt Lake.
Uh-huh.
So I would take the bus up if I could and wait tables, and then... And it, like, Christmas time came, and Steve said that he wanted...
Would he come and pick you up?
Well, he lived on the other side of the apartment complex. So, yeah, he would pick me up.
No, I mean, when you were in... Duh. When you were in Salt Lake when you were waitressing, would he come pick you up so you didn't have to ride the bus back from Salt Lake, was what I was asking.
No, he didn't. He didn't do that.
Okay.
He spent money, like, for his cars and a boat and all that. But he didn't spend money on clothes, and I didn't like his clothes very much. They were pretty dated.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember this, Seely?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? You were not working. I mean, you weren't making a ton of money. So you had to save up money to buy anything for anybody.
Exactly. And I didn't like his clothes, so I decided I would buy him a shirt that I really liked that he would look good in for Christmas. And remember when the rugby shirts had just kind of come in style?
Uh-huh.
I got him a rugby shirt. I got it at, like, Weinstocks. I don't know if you remember. They were like Nordstrom. And the shirt was like $45. I wasn't even a waitress yet. I was bussing tables. So it took me like two nights of working just to have enough money to buy his shirt for him.
Yeah.
And then he told me, like, you know what I'd really like? There's a book I'd really like for Christmas. What? Oh, my gosh. So I went and got the book. That was like $25. Oh, it was so much. So I spent three nights working to have enough money by the time I paid for gas and everything else. It took me three nights of work to pay for his Christmas presents. But I really liked him, so I thought, it's okay. And then when it came time to exchange gifts, apparently he came over to our apartment and I wasn't home. I was at work. I wasn't home because I was working more because I had to save money to live and buy presents. Like, it's like a day or two later, we get together and I have like these two presents for him, the shirt and the book that he wanted. And I'm so excited. Like, hey, I have these gifts for you. And I hand them to him. I will never, ever forget this. And he goes, oh, well, you know, I had a present for you and I came over to give it to you last night, but you weren't home. And I was like, yeah, I was working. And he said, yeah, and I know you don't really like chocolates. And so I got you peanuts.
He brought you like a bottle of peanuts?
Well, he's like, but when you weren't home, I ate them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this guy sounds like a keeper. What? I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, really? I worked three nights to pay for his presents. And this guy bought me peanuts and he ate them.
Uh-huh.
Like, are you kidding me? So I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, here, open your presents. And I'm just trying really hard. You know how you tell yourself, like, don't cry, don't cry, yeah. don't uh-huh. cry. Like, it's okay. So I was doing that. I got through it. I didn't cry. He opened his shirt. He's like, oh, this is really nice. Thanks. And oh, here's the book that I told you I wanted. That's nice too. And so like a month passes. Actually, it was only a couple weeks. And I decided I'm just going to have a talk with him. So I told him like, okay. So I say to him, I told him, we had this talk and I'm like, look, I don't care if you don't have a lot of money, but when you don't even take me to dinner.
Yeah, or give me a
you
Christmas.
You take me to the dollar theater and you didn't give, like you bought me peanuts for Christmas and then you ate them. Like that really hurt my feelings. Like, oh man, I don't mind if someone doesn't have money, but if they have money and they're just cheap with me,
no,
not cool.
No.
That doesn't work for me. So I was like, look, if you want to date me, you're going to have to take me to dinner. And actually, like, show me some respect. Like, this is, if you can't afford to take me to dinner, you're never going to be able to afford me because I get more expensive from here. This is not. So he's like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. In the meantime, after that conversation, I got locked out of the apartment one day. I forgot my keys. So I had to go up to the office and ask them for a master key so I could get in because none of my roommates were home. Because Celie was working like two jobs, I think, or three.
Yeah.
You were working like crazy.
Yep.
And the other roommates were at school. Everyone was really busy. So I go and I get the master key. Now, the manager was like a second cousin of mine, and she knew that I was dating Steve. I thought she'd just hand me like a key to our place. And instead, she grabs this whole master key thing to all of the apartments. And she's looking through and she's like, let's see. Okay, this one's yours. And I was like, what? Really? So that's every apartment in here. And she's like, yeah. And I said, hey, which one is Steve's? And she said, oh, you know, I can't tell you that. And I'm like, I know, but like, if you did.
Yeah, if you. Like,
which? Mm-hmm. And so she kind of very discreetly pointed out which key would be his. And I'm like, woohoo. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something fun. Then Celie comes home from work. I go, hey, Celie, guess what?
Guess what we're Look, doing tonight, I have the... Celie?
Exactly.
Put on your running shoes, because we might be going out the window.
We might be having an adventure. So I'm like, hey, I have the keys to Steve's place. Here's what I want to do. I want to go over there and get that shirt that I gave him for Christmas that he never wears and just take it. And then I'll just wear it next time we go on a date. And it'll be super funny. And so Celie's like, okay. So we go over there. We get in his apartment and we're looking like, and in his room was so messy. Do you remember that?
Oh, it was so bad. But how did we know nobody was there? How did we find that? I can't remember.
I knocked on the door first.
Oh.
Make sure no one came through the door. See, it's in my nature to be a PI. I couldn't help it. I have these sneaky tendencies, apparently.
Yeah.
So we go in his room, we're looking, I'm like, hurry, 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 before someone, I mean, there were four people that lived in there, so any one of four could come home and catch us.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like dying, like, hurry, hurry, we gotta hurry. And we're looking all over his bedroom, so messy, it's hard to find anything.
We were pulling clothes off of boxes. I mean, we were pulling clothes off of everywhere.
Everywhere. And then we're giving up. And I'm like, all right, let's go. And then I look. And there is the shirt in the box still that I gave it to him.
Oh.
He hadn't even taken it out of the box. And when I opened the box, it still had the pins in it even. You know how like when they used to pull them up nice?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I'm like, what the heck? So we hurry and grab it. I just grab the whole thing and leave. And it's now, because it's never even been worn, now I decide, you know what? I'm going to take that shirt back. Obviously, he doesn't like it. And I spent a lot of time and money to get this shirt. So I returned it and got cash and didn't tell him.
And he never noticed? Like, he didn't...
Well, here's what's funny. So then he comes over. Remember, I told him, like, you have to take me to dinner.
Yeah.
So he comes over to take me to dinner. He sits down at our kitchen table and looking through the phone book. That's how long ago this was. This was back when you looked in the phone book for restaurants and stuff. He's flipping through the pages. Molly's doing it. I said, hey, how come you never wear that shirt I gave you for Christmas? And because I know the truth, I'm noticing the difference in his body language. And he starts flipping through the pages faster. And he's like, I do. And I was so embarrassed for him that he was lying about it that I never even called him out on it. I didn't even tell him, like, actually, you're a big fat liar. I took it back and I have the cash in my pocket.
You didn't tell him?
I never told him.
Oh, well.
I never did.
So, sir, when you're listening to our podcast, you now know that that jersey was returned and she spent it on somebody else.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's hysterical.
But that is why Celie is my partner in crime. Yes. And we are like salt and pepper because I'm blonde and she's dark. Mm-hmm. And it just, like we're different, but the same. Like Everyone needs that person that you can just call them up and be like, hurry, get dressed. We're going on an adventure.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
I think we both were very stunned that he lied and said that he was wearing it. That's and we hysterical. Were just, we just, it really I mean, was. It was. The topic of our conversations for a long time. We were in awe that he was able to do that. It was pretty funny.
It was crazy. So that's kind of like who we are, just to kind of give you guys a feel how awesome Celie is that she will break and enter a home with me.
And you're still not in jail, either one of you.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Oh my gosh. I remember we were so nervous.
Oh,
we were running around and we were so brave. I can't believe we didn't get caught, that nobody came home.
It was so lucky. But if they had, then we would have just made something up. Like,
yeah,
we were just dropping something off for Steve. I don't know. I would have made something up. So that was just to kind of give you guys a feel for who Celie and I are. Then after that, later, I started doing surveillance while I was in school, and I was working a lot for my brother, and you guys have met him in earlier episodes. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, then listen to one of those, like the episode, How It All Started. Terry is on that one. So I was working for Terry, and this is back. So many of these stories involve like revealing how old we are, which kind of sucks. But back then, like an HD camera was brand new in the market, HD technology. Uh-huh. And Terry had bought an HD camera. It was a $3,000 camera. Can you imagine what kind of camera you'd get for that kind of money now?
No.
It would be a 4K and blah, blah. Like it would, the technology is amazing. But back then you would only get an HD camera. Although now we all have that on our cell phone.
Yes, true.
But I had that $3,000 camera in the car I was doing surveillance in all the time. And I parked somewhere in Salt Lake. And anyway, it got stolen. It got stolen out of the car. They broke the window out, stole the car. I had left the camera where it was visible.
Yeah.
My fault. Totally my bad.
Yep.
They grabbed it and ran off. Yep. And all my PI skills were
left all the way to the bank.
Exactly. Yeah. And Terry, as I told you in the episode on how it all started, is not like the most gentle, patient man. So he was super pissed at me.
Yeah.
Like, and he was right. How stupid was that of me to leave it visible? Sure. Really stupid. That's my bad. And I just didn't have money to just replace it.
Uh-huh.
And my parents had a condo in Salt Lake at the time, right downtown. And so a lot of times I would come up and meet them for dinner on a weekend or something.
Uh-huh.
And I had come up to Salt Lake. I met them for dinner and I was driving a Cadillac that they had because my parents were just generous like that because it was cold. And so they would let me take the Cadillac because it was better in the snow. Totally generous parents. And it also explains I was pretty spoiled as a kid and I acknowledge that.
We won't even go there, right, Celie? We know. I love you.
We know. We know, Pamela.
But I learned, no, just so everyone knows, I got poor later and then I learned a lot of things about money.
Value of it. No, you are very independent, Pamela.
Uh-huh. And your parents are a darling. I love them.
Yep.
Love them.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes. They were super cool, are super cool. So I stop at the gas station, and I was really feeling a lot of stress having Terry so mad at me over that camera, and I should have. It was a big loss. Mm-hmm. So I'm filling up with gas, and this guy comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, beautiful, how you doing?" Total, like, ghetto kind of talk, like, really rough talking looking. And I'm like, "Oh, hey, I'm good. How are you?" And I'm filling up with gas. And he starts to walk off, and then he comes back, and he's like, "Hey, do you need a camcorder?" I was like, "No."
Yeah, no, is it mine to start with?
That's what I
said. Did you like, see my car earlier?
Stolen. Yeah. Do you know me? Did you just follow me?
Did you borrow it, and now you're just returning it, sir?
Exactly. So my first reaction was no, and then because I thought, that's got to be stolen. And then I thought, wait a minute. That's got to be cheaper than a regular camera. Uh-huh. Maybe I do. So I said, wait. Maybe I do need it. I said, hold on. Let me go pay for the gas. So I went in and paid for the gas, not with cash because I was using a credit card that my dad probably provided me. So I come back to my car and I'm like, yeah, I think I tell me about this camcorder. I said, is it used? And he said, no, it's brand new. Like, this is a new camcorder. And I said, you know what? I really need a camcorder. Like, this is perfect timing for me. So I said, well, how much is it? And he said, $45.
And you're like,
okay. And I'm thinking, I don't have $45 cash. But I was like, well, I have a check. Can I write you a check? I really didn't ask him. And he's like, no, I'm not taking a check. Nah, crap. You can't take a credit card. This was like before ATMs were everywhere and all that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? I really need this camcorder. Like, this could solve my problems. This would, I said, you know what? Can you just wait here? I can go get some cash and then I'll be back. And he's like, all right. And then I started thinking, crap. If I leave him here, he's just going to sell that camcorder to the next person that drives up and says yes. And so I, being the genius that I am, I said, hey, why don't you get in my car and ride up with me? Seriously.
So, Pamela, you were that desperate? You were that desperate for a camcorder?
I was that desperate.
I think she was that naive. Like,
that's naive.
Do you want to take this Cadillac also? Because I'm offering you to just drive for free.
You guys, I can't even, like, this is so embarrassing.
And I don't care if he's black, white, or purple polka dot. The idea that you let some man into your car. Come right with me so I can pay you for stolen property.
Mm-hmm. No, but here's what's even more awesome. I take him up to my parents' condo to make sure he knows, hey, my parents have a place here.
I know, but he lives here.
Let me see. Yeah, and they're not here all the time. So we pull up, and this condo, it had like a circular drive. And so I pull up to the drive, and I've got to run in and get the money from my parents. And so I was like, I didn't want him to go in. And he didn't want to go in.
No.
And he's like, I'll wait here. Get this. I did not want to be rude and make him wait outside of the car because it was cold.
Oh.
So I
left the car running.
Okay, you wait in the car.
Oh my gosh.
I'll just leave the keys right here for you in case you want to take it for a spin. I'm sure you'll be right back to get that $45 from me.
I'm not that stupid. I took the keys with me.
Sure you did.
I took the key. I think I did.
Did you have anything left in your car when you came back?
Not the camcorder. Yes. But he sold everything else while she was inside. He doesn't have a spare tire or a jack or anything else, you know?
Right. No. So I run into the condo, take the elevator up, get in. To the unit, and my parents are sitting there, and I said, Jim, I need $45. I just met this guy at the gas station. There's this black guy, and he's selling a camcorder, and they knew that I needed a camcorder to replace the one, and they're like, oh, really? And I said, he's going to sell to me for $45, and they're like, I don't think so. This is not a good idea. And I'm like, yes, it is. This is a great idea. Look, I know it's hot, but I don't care. I need a camcorder. I'm going to buy it. Like, please just give me $45. And my dad stands up. He's a big guy, right?
Big guy.
He stands up and he goes, and he's a tough guy. And he's like, okay, I'm coming with you. And I was like, no, if you come, he won't do the deal. I know it. You're going to scare him off. Just sit down. Just give me the $45. And my dad very reluctantly pulled out $45 and handed it to me. He's like, now, honey, you be careful. And they're like, where is he? Like, he's downstairs waiting in the car. Oh my gosh. I can't even believe my parents let me do this. Like,
you know, there was an innocence back then. I mean, there was crime and stuff, but it's not like
it really was.
Yeah. And you're in Utah and you're, you know.
Exactly.
And you're naive.
It was stupid.
And, but and you're Tinkerbell. Yeah, it was like, you can rule it all anyway. So what can we say?
So, and I'm worried that when I get down there, that the car will be gone. And that he will be gone in the car.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about all this stuff. Thankfully, I get there. And, you know, for all I know, maybe I left the car running to keep him warm.
I'm sure.
I could have.
I think I did. That's my bet. What do you think, Celie?
Yeah, I think that you were kind of crazy back then. That's kind of...
Just saying.
I'm all excited. I get in the car. The guy's still there waiting for me. And I am... And he has the camcorder on his lap, right? And it's in this cardboard box. It's got the plastic around it still. And I'm thinking, you know, he must work at some technology store.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And
was able to get it
and
on
stole
a deal
this off of
or just got a good
someplace.
Deal.
And I'm thinking, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, this is bad, but I really need this camera. And he's like, hey, you need to take me back. Of course. Yeah, not a problem. I'll take you right back where I picked you up. So we're driving along. As we start driving, first things he says is, okay, put the $45 right there on the dash. Like, put it right there. And I was like, what? Like, why? And he said, just put it there. So I'm like, okay. So I put the $45 on the dashboard. And then he takes it and he says, see, you didn't give me no $45. You just set it right there. And then I took it. You didn't give it to me.
Oh.
So he's cornered
by that. Yeah, she didn't give me any money.
Okay.
I didn't drop her body off in the canyon.
Yeah, those are not my fingerprints. That's not my DNA. They didn't even have DNA then.
Nope.
This is how old this story is. We had DNA. We just don't know how to find it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay, like that's awesome. So smart of you.
Yeah, I love that.
So now he's been paid. As I'm driving, I say, hey, I want to see the camera before I drop you off. He says, all right, sure. So he starts to open it. And right then, there's a police car on the side of the road. The lights are going and he takes the camera and he throws it in the back seat. He's like, I ain't going to get busted for no $45. You're going to open this after when I'm gone. And so I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey,
like, no problem.
I'm good with that.
I'm so
good. In fact, here's another 50. Yeah. Let me drive you wherever you want. I'm sure my dad would fill
you
up with fuel. Like, I could drive you to California. Thank you.
So I'm like, hey, no, man, like, I get it. I'm cool. I don't want to get you busted. Like, oh, yeah. I said, hey, I know we're going to need, like, my brother probably will want one, too. Another one. Like, how do I get a hold of you if we need more cameras? And he's like, oh, you'll find, I always hang out here. You'll find me at the gas station. Just come on back. Okay, like, wow, this is awesome. So I take him to the gas station, drop him off. He gets out and I'm like, thank you. Thanks. Have a good night. And I start driving off. I'm so excited to go back and show my parents this camera.
Uh-huh.
Like, look at what we got for $45. I cannot wait to show them. And I'm so excited that I can't even wait until I get there to open the box.
Sure. It's like Christmas.
So I'm driving.
You actually
and I
got a gift from someone that wasn't Steve.
So I reach back, I get the box, and I tear the plastic off of it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. I'm thinking, oh, I bet he can get stereos and all kinds of stuff. Like, I bet I can get a lot of technology from this guy.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
wow, I'm so smart. And then I opened the cardboard box.
Tell me
and
there's
like brown paper in there. And I thought, well, why would they have a camera wrapped in paper? Like, what? So then I moved the paper, and there are two big rocks in there.
Pamela.
I bought a box of rocks.
Well, of course you did.
I was so sad. But, I went to the condo, and I walked in. I was, like, crying, and I showed them the box. I'm like, look. I bought a box of rocks. Seriously, like, tears just rolling down my face. I was devastated.
Aww.
I went from being, like, so excited to just, man, I bought this box of rocks.
See what happens when you help support the crime community, Pamela?
Yeah, see?
I know.
And you went from, you thought you were going to have a side hustle before side hustles were even popular.
I know, exactly. And my parents were so sweet. They hugged me and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I lost your money. And they were just happy that I was alive.
I was going to say, they weren't looking for your body in the canyon. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Uh-huh. Did you ever go back to the gas station looking for him ever?
I did. I went back on my way out of town. Of course, he was nowhere to be found.
Oh.
And it's not like, that's not like the kind of crime you call the police and say, hey, I was trying to buy this stolen camera.
Like, it was hot, but the guy took my money and didn't give me this stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was pretty sure it was hot because it was very cheap. Even for those days, it was cheap. He knew likely I was not going to call the police, but I did. I bet I looked on that corner for that guy. Every time I'd come to Salt Lake, I'd stop at that gas station, just hoping to see him.
That's so funny.
To be like, you sold me a box of rocks.
And he would be like, you didn't bring me any money. There was some money on the dash.
I wanted my hot camcorder. Yeah. I wanted the hot camcorder.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Oh. So I wanted to do something funnier and lighter, and I wish I had superpowers. I developed better superpower skills and intuition with stuff later.
Well, I hope
you
did.
That was when I was...
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope I did. Otherwise, for sure, I would have been... I'd be dead in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah.
Or held hostage at one of the jails or prisons that I go to. But
well, and maybe that guy took your camera, Terry's camera, his $3,000 camera.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did.
That's what I thought.
I was expecting that. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I opened it up and there was the exact same camera.
Same camera. Yeah. That's what I was
thinking. Oh, yeah. That would have been a much better story and a much better result for me,
yeah.
too. So be careful with buying stuff from criminals because they lie.
Oh, I hate that. You know, there's just no honesty amongst criminals. I just don't
think
that's very nice.
I know. It was so rude. It really, really, I was so devastated. I think I was honest. I felt really sad. And like, you know how you just feel like when you've been cheated out of something? I already felt that way from the camera being stolen.
Uh-huh.
And then I tried to make up for it by doing something even more stupid. And then
you felt
I bought a box
bad.
Of rocks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whatever stupid thing any of you have ever done out there, just remember, I bought a box of rocks once.
Uh-huh.
So you're probably in a better spot than I am.
You are not alone. You are not alone.
Exactly.
Yes. You are not alone. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's my kind of
so I want to tell a quick story on one of my very first admin experiences. We busted a kid that had been selling pot because, of course, you can sell it in a school. And I don't care if you like weed or not. It's don't bring it to the school. Like, don't bring it to a school anywhere in the United States, duh.
That's the worst place you could bring it.
Yeah, the kids sold it and for $10. And it was in a little tiny, wrapped up in a piece of tinfoil. And so when we got it out and caught the kid that had it, and, you know, because everybody was going home, everybody was being suspended, and we opened it up and it wasn't pot at all. He'd gone into his mom's cupboard and just made his own. And it was like pork chop rub. So we called it pork chop rub. He'd sold it for $10 and it was pork chop. It was like rosemary and thyme and all this stuff.
He was selling that to kids?
Yeah. $10 a pot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
did they try smoking it? Do we know?
You know what? I don't know if they purchased it from him before, but yeah. So we cut.
Okay, wait, Shelly, yeah. How did you know that it was not pot?
Because when you open up and it smells more like a Thanksgiving turkey than. And we have an officer in the school, and he came in. He was like, "What do you guys have?" And we showed him, and it's like, "Yeah, they were selling it for pot." And he started laughing. He's like, "Yeah, that's not pot." So yeah, we sold it. We called it
that's chop funny. Girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
did the kid still get expelled for selling fake pot?
Yeah, because you can't sell.
You know, you can't sell fake marijuana. Yeah. You guys have rules,
right? We're tight about that. If you're going to sell it, sell the right stuff. Come on.
I know. I tried selling cinnamon sticks in elementary school, and I got in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Wait, you did?
Yeah. Toothpicks with cinnamon sticks. Because the kids were burning their mouths and their fingers and stuff on it.
Wait a minute. Why were you selling cinnamon sticks?
They're good. Cinnamon toothpicks. Yeah. Yeah, they're so good. Remember cinnamon toothpicks? You could buy them in the little plastic.
I love cinnamon toothpicks.
So I thought I'm going to make my own and sell it at Lincoln Elementary. And I sold a few of them, and kids were like, I put a lot of cinnamon oil on it, and it's hot. It can burn you.
It can.
And they were, kids were complaining. So I got in big trouble.
I had a student my very first year teaching, and
you're a rebel.
He was doing a good thing, because if you had a headache, you could go to him in his locker, and he was selling an aspirin for a quarter. Like, oh, you've got a headache? I've got some aspirin, but you've got to pay me so I can reload it. And we're like, yeah, no, you can't. You can't sell aspirin. You can't sell gum. You're not a store, but definitely not aspirin. You don't know who's going to be allergic to it, you know. Had to call him.
Yeah.
And back in those days, it was just like, and small town, it was like, okay, take the aspirin home and don't.
Please don't push your aspirin on the kids anymore.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to the crazy, silly adventures we had. Thanks for listening to Pamela Private Eye.